So welcome to my talk. I'm going to talk about a qualitative analysis on budgeting and food insecurity among low-income African-American caregivers. So just a little background. As we all know, the highest rates of obesity and diabetes in the United States are in the low-income groups. And we're finding that a multitude of variables contribute to this trend, much having to do with the food environment surrounding the affected person. We also know that African Americans and their children are disproportionately at risk for obesity-related illnesses. Despite this evidence, there have been limited effective approaches for long-term weight management in these low-income minority urban communities. So in light of these factors, researchers at UIC devised a qualitative study, which uses an ethnographic approach to seek out deeper reasons behind these trends. In-depth interviews and neighborhood assessment were used to understand these factors. So our research question was about these multi-level factors. So at the individual level, the interpersonal level between a few people, and at the community level. And how do these affect the diet? So our data collection started with 12 African-American primary caregivers, their mothers and grandmothers, who were recruited at various community agencies, schools, and clinics throughout Chicago. Those recruited were given a grocery store or a mall gift certificate to establish some reciprocity. And just to give you an idea of the neighborhood surveyed at the time of the study, this is a depiction of the demographic data on Inglewood and West Inglewood, which are neighborhoods on the south side of Chicago, in comparison to Chicago as a whole. And you can see from the table that both neighborhoods, both Inglewood and West Inglewood, are 98% African American compared to the 37% in the whole of Chicago. There are significantly more female-run head of households comparatively in these neighborhoods. About a quarter of the residents in both neighborhoods are unemployed compared to the whole of Chicago at 6% rate. And the median family income is significantly lower in these neighborhoods by about $9,000 and $17,000 respectively. So the poverty rate is quite high here. So this series of individual interviews that were conducted focused on several topics and multi-level factors surrounding dietary practices. But this talk is just going to focus on the household budgeting and food shopping interviews that I performed a qualitative analysis on. So these interviews were mostly conducted in the caregiver's home and lasted approximately 1.5 to 2 hours. Interviewers and interviewees were matched on race and ethnicity, and then the in-depth interviews were audio taped and transcribed into Word files. So what was the interview about? These particular interviews were adapted to better reflect the current emphasis on overweight and obesity, but they maintained a general focus on family life. They are semi-structured and open-ended in nature, and the questions were adapted from the 18-item USDA food security measure, asking about expenses, resources, and budgeting strategies surrounding food shopping. All of the interviews were then open-coded using a qualitative data analysis software called Atlas TI. Emerging themes focused on participant resources, expenses, budgeting, and food shopping interviews, and I'll expound upon that in the results. So in the study, participants described their food shopping habits and revealed to us several budgeting strategies, all of which included some type of public assistance, such as Link or WIC. They also cited buying in bulk, selective shopping, which means buying only certain items at certain stores rather than using one main grocery shop. They cited purchasing alternative, typically less healthy items to save money, buying generic or preparing food at home instead of eating out. So here's a quote from one of our participants who describes the selective shopping that I talked about to save money to feed her family. And she says, "I'll go to chain supermarket A for certain items. That's like for them Parkhouse Polishes. Because if you go up in chain supermarket A, I can spend a whole $400 up in there and not come out with nothing more than like 10 bags. I like chain supermarket A, but they're just too high. I'd like to shop there if I could, but they're just too expensive when you have a lot of mouths to feed. That's good for like when there's only two people in the house." So here's another quote where a participant describes omitting the expensive items from her diet, the ones that we see are typically more healthy. So she says, I like my seafood, but I don't get that or some of the more expensive things like strawberries, the more expensive stuff like fruits and vegetables. I mean, if it's not necessary. So we can see where this is an issue. So our other results elicited from the participants spoke to their food environment, the chaotic atmosphere, the safety issues, their struggles to make ends meet, and other issues surrounding the store environment. So this participant, it's a long quote, I know, describes her chaotic food environment at the beginning of the month. She says, if it's a check day, the 1st to the 7th, the food in the grocery store is going to be junk. Because everybody's got their food stamps, everybody's got their checks, everybody's got something the first. They already got paid, so of course it's going to be a little junky because people are bringing two carts of food. Somebody didn't have enough, somebody didn't want this, so of course you're going to expect that the first week. But the time I went in there after the first, it's been clean. The majority of the people there get the link. I've got a lot of people getting their SSI, their Social Security. A lot of people getting their retirement check, a lot of people getting their disability check, some people get their crazy check, and she chuckles. So we can easily see how this timing and resources play a huge role in people's ability to obtain quality food. So another participant describing her food environment describes her concern about shopping in an unsafe environment. She says there's a Jewels, and that's a grocery store in Chicago. Over there, I don't go there either. I mean, only because I'm looking at the area, and I'm looking at the congestion there. I'd rather not go there because it doesn't seem safe to me. I mean, they're so worried about half the time about someone coming in or breaking or stealing something or that sort of thing. So to conclude, health behaviors are complex and influenced on several levels. So we have these different levels, and poverty stress, priorities beyond healthy eating affect us at the socioeconomic level. Safety, access to quality, affordable, convenient food is all part of the food environment. And we can't disregard how food preferences, health beliefs, learned behaviors, and exposure to healthy foods also have an impact at that family level. So what's the big picture? This is a small qualitative study that illustrates that solutions to diet-induced problems affecting low-income families must target and consider each of these levels to produce effective change. So when we're designing interventions or informing policy targeting health and diet of these families, we have to consider this hectic environment and stressors in these families' lives. And questions are at the end, I'm told now.
Great. Thank you, Summer.